Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Welcome to Vox Novus, the new voice. In my mid-30s, something interesting happened. An inadvertent transformation took place when I started studying yoga to relieve a back issue. In the joy of this new learning and the friendships that ensued, a series of synchronicities blessed my life. Each new opportunity to engage and share this energy with others was healing on so many levels and reopened a sense of joy and wonder that I had put aside in my teens. My guest this week on Vox Novus, Mark Johnson, took a six-decade-long global spiritual journey that culminated with his new book and initiation into A Life of Play. Mark encourages us to take the plunge into the unknown and mystery of our lives, where every action becomes an effortless, appropriate response to whatever life brings us. Mark Johnson is a semi-retired Tai Chi teacher and Qigong instructor and healer. He continues to judge Tai Chi tournaments regularly, serves on the advisory council to the National Qigong Association, and leads Taoist retreats to China and Tibet yearly. Mark has studied and practiced Eastern philosophy for more than 45 years and has apprenticed with some of the most prominent Vedanta, Zen, and Taoist teachers in the world. He became a member and research subject at the Institute of Noetic Sciences for nearly 15 years. His best-selling Tai Chi for Seniors video and other instructional DVDs are available through his online company. His websites include taopublishing.com and taichiforseniorsvideo.com, and he joins me this week to share his path and his new book, Life as Play. Please welcome to Vox Novus, Mark Johnson. Welcome, Mark.
Well, welcome yourself. Well, thank you. I very seldom get someone to talk to that has the background you do, so I'm quite impressed. Well, so this should be really exciting.
Well, I come to you as the student, and you're the teacher, and so that's going to be our relationship during the course of this interview.
Okay, I'll try to remember that.
So, Mark, please share with our listeners your early path and the life-changing experience in your early 20s that became the accelerant.
Well, it's funny you should mention it because I was just about to do that. And it came, I would say, the most obvious when I had gotten out of art school and was a graphic designer in New York. And one morning I woke up at six, shaving away to go to work. And I thought, what am I doing here? I don't like getting up early. I don't like shaving. I don't like my particular job. Why don't I do something? And up until then, I didn't have any experiences. And since I was very young, I used to wake my mother up and say, hey, why is the room getting smaller and I'm getting bigger? And she would say, well, she'd say, just rub your eyes and go to sleep, you know. So, God, I can only imagine what I could have accomplished if she was already a Taoist. But anyway, so I had those minuscule young experiences of oneness with things, but I got talked out of it into a life of Roman Catholicism. You'll go to hell if you eat meat on Friday kind of stuff. Oh, Lord. Anyway. Back to where I was when it hit me by myself. I don't have anybody else to blame except me, that I put the thing down that I was shaving with, could hardly name it, and said, give me my money, I'm out of here. So they did. I bought, I tried to get into the boats. I wanted to go to Tahiti. Yes, that was my decision there. I want to get out of here, go to Tahiti, eat fruits off the, you know, the, out of the trees, have sex with the locals. And that to me is the ultimate. Okay. So I took off for the boats in New York, and they all explained to me cautiously that, listen, Sonny, boats don't go to Tahiti from here. You got to go from the West Coast. I says, oh, okay. So I turned around and with my $40 that I had, I hired a taxi, take me a couple of miles down the road, the only road I knew that went south, southeast United States, where I had a friend living, and I was going to go from there to the west after I got some money, and off I would go to Tahiti. So that was my dream, and here's when the synchronicity started. I got out on the highway, stuck my thumb out. Now, this is the big road from New York down to Florida. And my hometown was central Pennsylvania, about 200 miles away. So I'm standing there for about 2 minutes max, and this little old Plymouth pulls up with an old lady and an old man. I get in the back seat. We start talking, and I find out they're from my hometown in Pennsylvania. Whoa. And then all of a sudden, the man said, I worked for your father, that he was a mining expert and coal mining expert. And he said, your father was the greatest man I ever met. So if you don't mind, we would like to adopt you as the child we never had. And I said, sure. So they paid for my way down and allowed me to stop at the scientific centers that I wanted to stop to. I had a great time with them from there down. Now, that's called a synchronicity. Everyone's capable of it if you would just empty yourself and allow it to happen. But oh no, we're too busy plotting and scheming and carrying on. And most people act like they're waves on the ocean, you know, and they're floating around and trying to get wetter than all the other waves. And then when a big wave comes along, they get scared because the big wave might get rid of them. So they're in a constant state of fear and greed. What a way to go through life. And I'm telling them that isn't the way life can lead you to. For God's sakes, you're not just a wave. You are the entirety of the ocean. You can't separate the ocean from the wave or the wave from the ocean. And the truth is, you're both at the same time. You are the entirety of the ocean and a wave. And the Taoist bringing that together is what Taoism is all about. And after a while, you allow the entire ocean to go through you instead of you thinking and scheming and plotting and being fearful. So that was my first inauguration into synchronicities. That was getting me down there. And then I started wandering around and interviewing psychic people that I got from one of the scientific colleges on the way down. And after about 22 people, I got fed up because they're mostly phony. And I am really good at pointing out a phony when I see one. And so I was led to a man who they said was a Vedanta center, and I didn't even know what that meant. But when I met him, they said, where are you going? I said, I'm on my way to Tahiti. And he said, well, if you don't find Tahiti in yourself, you're not going to find it there. Mm. Wow, what a sense. I was almost knocked down with that one. And so they adopted me. I loved them. And I spent 10 years at the Advaita Vedanta Center that took in every Vedanta teacher on the planet through the 10 years I was with them. So I got to know all of them. I also went to Europe and, the islands to some more teachers of Advaita Vedanta. And So I had the 10 years of their influence, and they were very giving and loving, and we all lived together within one block and had a heck of a good time there. But
Let's stop for a second and just reflect on a couple of things that you discussed. So you were that morning that you were shaving and you said, "What am I doing here?" That opened a door, didn't it?
Yes, certainly did.
And the practice of doing that, of looking at where you are in life right now and questioning it, and then having the willingness to do something different, that leads to synchronicities.
Yes, it does. Yes. I explain it by that matter doesn't matter that much, but energy is everything, and it's all at different frequencies. Absolutely. So if you want to be one with the universe, you've got to be constantly in contact with the high frequency energies if you want synchronicities. There's a lot of low frequency energies that won't bring on synchronicities, you know, like greed and fear and a sabotaging subconscious. We could spend, 2 days on that. Everybody's got a sabotaging subconscious. And there are certain breathing techniques with the high frequency energy that blows it right out of your body. No big deal. But who does it? Hardly anybody. Anyway, so what was your question again?
So we're talking about the synchronicities and being open and being in the same frequency. And we're talking, in essence, what we're saying is, it's like taking a tuning fork. If you take a tuning fork and strike it and have another tuning fork adjacent to it that has the same frequency, the material that vibrates at that same frequency, they'll vibrate together. And that's where the synchronicities come from.
Exactly. And that's just about what I was about to say, only I use the a guitar. I lay a guitar on a table and put 10 guitars near it. Only the guitar that's the same size and shape and frequency as the one you pluck. That one will down, no matter how far away it is, it's going to start vibrating with the other one that you just plucked. Energy cannot avoid the same frequency. They come together like rainbows. You know, you have all those different frequencies of colors. And if you change the frequency, it'll change the color. But they all love to be together. They love to integrate. So that's my second step. Once you are in touch with your oneness, then the synchronicities start happening. They can't be helped. And I never worked a day in my life after that one time in New York, because I didn't have to. I would just sit down, no money, nowhere to go, didn't care. I was just going to sit there and be receptive. And the phone will ring, and I end up, playing with the movie stars for a year and a half.
Absolutely.
Any more questions?
Yes, let's talk more about Vedanta. Let's talk more about what you learned at the Vedanta Center from those folks.
Okay. I learned that, first of all, I wasn't a born sinner. I had to get that out of my Roman Catholic. I was an altar boy and everything. But I caught on fire one day with the First Holy Communion. And the minute that happened, I tore my thing off, threw it on the ground, walked out, and never came back again. So there's a story in itself. But anyway, what was your question again?
About Vedanta, the Vedanta Center, and what you learned.
Oh, yeah. Well, their premise is you're innately divine. Get with it. Get with the program, for God's sake. You're on this earth to learn these things and to evolve and so forth. And so I thought, wow, that's a far cry from you're going to go to hell for eternity if you eat meat on Friday. I think I like this. So I did. And I got with them and we meditated and we did yoga for 10 years. And I was always the subject that had the flexibility to show the class. I remember it was a bunch of old ladies and old men there. And anyway, so I had a good time with that. And actually their goal and their ways to it are very similar to the Zen Buddhists that I stayed with. And then it was the same as the Taoist to some of, they're all similar in that you are divine, and just accept it. And if you live compassionately, intuitively, spontaneously, the synchronicities will happen. And as they happen, then you're more free to just stay open all the time. You're just constantly open and allowing the divine to come through you.
And that lesson is that you don't have to look outside for the divine. It's there right within. It's part of
it. That's right. It's always been you. The secret to the kingdom of heaven is that the damn door isn't locked. You know, that the kingdom of heaven is wide open, and they would love for us to come and join, you know. But we don't. We just keep plotting and scheming and fearful and blah, blah, blah. Ugh. And so forth. So,
and the frequency of love is much, much higher than the frequency of fear.
Yes, that's for darn sure. Yes.
Absolutely. Who were some of your other teachers, and how did their wisdom shape you?
Do you want me to limit it to the Advaita Vedantins or
Clara? No, let's go beyond that.
Okay. By the way, the name was Panton, and his wife was a famous a dancer all around the world, Russia and all over. Boy, did she have the synchronicities. Wow. And, you know, she ran into, well, I won't get into hers, but she was the powerhouse behind the Vedanta Center. I want everybody to know. The man was famous. He wrote the radio program, The Shadow. I'll bet you're familiar with that, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, he wrote that. And then he ran into this lady who had just signed up in that religion. And so they got together and they went down south and they opened up this big center and took in the Hindu teachers one after another, year after year. We had a great time, learned a little bit from each one of them. And I think I have a lineup of them in my book. Life is Play. You'll get to see their faces and what they did. It was quite a good time. But, you know, after 10 years, I said, my need is turning to the Taoists. I started reading about them and I started studying Chinese. And I thought, oh, boy, this is where I need to be. So I said goodbye. And right after I did, he burned up in the kitchen. Can you imagine that?
Oh, my.
Yeah. And then later she taught till she was in her mid-80s, but she died a natural death. And the newspaper showed how there was an unusual windstorm around their shrine where they lived the day she died. It's unbelievable, the synchronicity there. I mean, in my book, it shows the picture of the newspaper showing the energy coming down from New York, where they lived for a while, and then coming up from Florida and circling over top of her the shrine there where they lived. Isn't that incredible?
So she danced. So she
the
she
next day.
She yeah. danced into the universe.
Yes, exactly. And it responded to her. And so that was impressive. Absolutely. Anyway, I'm off on my own, heading west to see the only Taoist center in the country. And I ran into a Buddhist. Oh, it was Suzuki Roshi. Mm. And he was the Zen guy. And he was dying. He had cancer when I showed up for the first time. And I stayed with him for about a year just on the weekends. And just loved the guy. He was so open, you know. And a lot of the old Zen peoples are, you know, a little too much into themselves. But he was always available, open, really liked the guy. But he died on us just one weekend. So I said, well, now what am I going to do? And so I got a email. This is another synchronicity. I got an email from, what's his name, that... the guy that that invited me to stay with him and learn Taoism and Vedanta. What's his name? The very famous guy. I'll think of it in a minute. Oh, by the way, I had a synchronistic plane crash into a warehouse about 10 years ago. And I had my frontal lobe smashed in. And they put a plate in front of me and I can't remember names. So get used to it. So if you know what word I'm trying to think of, just supply it. But I don't remember names.
That's okay. You know what? We're going to pick this up in the second segment. My guest is Mark Johnson. He's the author of the book, Life as Play, Live Compassionately, Intuitively, Spontaneously, and Miracles Will Happen. Mark, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you.
Okay. If you go to daopublishing.com, and that's D-A-O publishing.com, my book is there. And it's in different styles. We even have a voiceover now, and we have, it's going to be a big deal pretty soon. So just go there. You can get my book there and read about some of me and see the pictures of, all my trips to China and these Hindus that I was with and the Vedantins and the everything. I haven't even gotten to the last half of the bunch yet, but we'll get to it.
And for those folks like me who are over a certain tender age, you can get his Tai Chi for Seniors video at TaiChiForSeniorsVideo.com. We'll be back with more of Mark Johnson after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week is Mark Johnson. His book is Life as Play, Live Compassionately, Intuitively, Spontaneously, and Miracles Will Happen. So in the last segment, you were talking about another one of your teachers, Alan Watts. Please tell us about Alan.
Well, I had studied his books on my own for years, really liked the way how his clarity and so forth. And so I decided when he sent out one of his newsletters, he said, I want you all to write why you want to live with me on the boat here. You can come up and live with me here on the boat. So, a couple of hundred of us did it. And of course I won, and he invited me there, and I said, all right, I'll be there in a week. And he said, fine. And so, I couldn't wait to study with this very learned individual, but I stopped at a Taoist center on the way. And, it was called the, Playing with Taoists in Colorado is where it was. And it was that mountain in Colorado where he was. And he had a very popular book on the I Ching, which is one of my big contributions to humanity, is working with my most recent teacher on the I Ching, rewriting it and so forth. Jiafu Fang was his name. And he was quite popular. So I decided to stop there for a day or two before I went on. But they said, hey, Alan Watts married us. What a coincidence. I says, wow. And so I was excited all the more to get to see him because of that. However, we got a phone call and said, Alan Watts just died.
Oh, my.
Well, yeah, what a shock. So I stayed with the others for about a couple of weeks, but I wasn't too impressed, and I left because I had heard of a Taoist named Kai D, you know, and he was the villain in, what was the name of that movie?
Manchurian Candidate.
Oh, yeah, the Manchurian Candidate. So I studied with the Manchurian Candidate for 3 years. Wasn't too impressed with him either, but he had a Chinese teacher with him with a PhD in English and Chinese. So I stayed with him, studied with him. He married me 5 years later. And so that's my story with Alan Watts. He had a great clear view of things, but he also had a lot of personal problems. I found out later. I went to the funeral. Eventually, his son was there. And he had a lot of problems psychologically and drinking problem and so forth. So I'm kind of glad that he died on me. And and I didn't waste a lot of time. So, but in the meantime, it all led to me saying, all right, I'm out of here. I'm going to China because that's where I hear all the biggies are. And of course, as synchrony would have it, I was led to him, me and two other guys who were students of that teacher I just mentioned, said, we've been studying with a guy in Taiwan for years and we like him. Anybody want to go to Taiwan? I said, me. And I had about $80 in my name then, and off I went with him. And they were wealthy, lived in Malibu. And so he started studying with his teacher, who came out with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth in his underwear. I wasn't too impressed. So a few days of him, and I told them, I said, hey, I'm not impressed with this guy. I'm going to go look for one myself. And we were, and I said that in a, what was the name of that business? Well, we're trying to find a place to live. Okay, so we were in there talking to them, you know, do you have any rooms for us we can get into and all that kind of stuff. In the meantime, I said to one of the ladies, I said, I'm looking for a Tai Chi expert in Qigong. And so they said, oh, there's one just a couple of blocks away. This is in a building of people that sell houses. And so she said that. So we all three walked down to him, walked up to him. He was sitting there with his arms in his sleeves, looking like a kung fu expert, which he was. And yet I just stood there in amazement. And he even knew a little English that made things easier for us. Of course, it took me 8 more years of being with him to get straighten him out with that English. But I was impressed. I said, how'd that hole in the top of your head get there? And he said, oh, I was born knowledge and speaking. And he said, my parents took me to a acupuncturist and herbalist and so forth. And they closed that up. And I didn't have it again until I went to the mountains to be with my teachers who had already been in the mountains for 20, 30, 40 years. He said, then it all came back again, and the whole hole opened up again. And I think you know that hole is called the Fontanella, and it's very big in Chinese medicine and longevity. And they don't even eat. A lot of them don't eat. They fast constantly, and they live forever. So opening up the Fontanella became a priority in my life, and it slowly opened up also, not as obviously as his. But I was impressed with the top of his head, and he thought, whoa, the guy got some insight, you know. So he started telling me stuff, and then he invited us into his upper floor classes and so forth. Then he invited us to join his sect called the Black Dragon Sect. Wow, everybody knows about that one. And they've never opened up to a Westerner before, but we did. He let us in, became part of it. And then we asked him to come to the United States. We were so shocked that he said, sure, I've been waiting for that, for you to ask. So just before he took off, a hurricane went. We went back to build up the Malibu place into a clinic for him and get on boats.
From, like a jetty?
Yeah, I think that's it. It's just a walkway for people to go out and look at the water and walk back, or they take their boats out and dump it in there.
A pier.
Yeah, a pier. Yes, that's the word I couldn't think of. Thank you very much. Hey, you're going to be an expert at this by the time this is over. Reading people's minds. Okay, good. Who don't have any minds any left. I'm strictly intuitive. And this book I just wrote, I sat it down and I said, who the hell wrote that? I'm not capable of any of that. And that's what all my friends said, too. And they read the book and I thought, wow, this is the greatest book we've ever written. And they offered me all kinds of money to get it, you know, to grow, which is starting to happen now. And pretty soon it'll be a bestseller. I'll probably be another damn millionaire and drop all of my spirituality and just decide to be rich and disgusting.
I just want to share with our listeners, Life is Play, his book, is hysterical because this man has a biting and self-deprecating sense of humor. And his loss of words, he explained in the first segment, he was in a plane crash 10 years ago where someone else was flying. Mark is a light pilot himself, and someone else was flying, unfortunately, and crashed the plane. And he had major surgery on the front of his brain. And that's why he has a name loss or word loss from time to time. So, but he said it also opened up all of this other wonderful stuff for him. Right, Mark?
Yes, and my ability to intuit, my Absolutely. Intuition got almost flawless. And so now I just sit around and stay empty. And by the way, that's all anybody has to do is just stop thinking so damn much and scheming and plotting and just sit there and open yourself empty and quiet and allow the whole ocean to come through you. Allow all of divinity to come through you. That's what I did writing the book. I just sat there empty, and the next thing, a great line would happen, and there's another great line, and another one. Wow, I couldn't believe the darn book when I finished it. But I can't take any credit for it, darn it.
I got to ask you a question. Did your studies in China give you a sense that perhaps you lived there in a previous life?
Oh, no doubt about it. And I already knew that. And so did Master Ni. He even told me who I was a couple of times. And I already knew that. And there was a famous Taoist guy named Zhuangzi. And my name is Johnson. See what I mean? The similarity there. And I act like him. And when his wife died, he was playing drums out in front and all. It scared the hell out of everybody. Came up to him. He said, what's the problem? He said, death is just a intermission between the horrors of being reborn here to realize your divinity.
Absolutely.
He says, so I'm celebrating my wife for dying. She's now in this quiet, non almost everything, except the way you are is going to stay the same there, and you're coming back. And so I joined a club. I think that was when I was with the Advaita Vedantists. We got in a big room. We started getting information from each other and who was live. And my daughter came in several times through different women and said, I want to be born to you. Stop messing around with all these ladies and get married and have me. And you know what? I did. And now when I told her about this, when she was like about 10 or 12, did you know that you came to me in a seance and said, I want to be born to you? I says, yeah, I knew that. And I'm surprised that you remember that. She says, yeah, I remember the first time, she said, coming out of the womb and seeing your face and how familiar it was. Well, anyway, that's another story.
Absolutely. So, in life is play, you share your experiences with both the spirit world and the dream world in your book. Are those two aspects of the same thing?
Spirit world and the dream world. Yeah, they're both the same, but people don't know that they're the same. The spirit world is just you know, everything is yin and yang. When you leave, you're yin there. And then you come back and you get the yin and yang when you come into this expression of our being. Okay, so people go out there, it's kind of like Master Nice, I'm not supposed to say his name. My teacher said...
the dragon.
The dragon said, it's like a intermission. Yeah, he kept calling it an intermission where things are quiet for a while. You get a chance to pull yourself together and you come back again to learn all these tricks that you didn't learn in the last lifetime. And some people do make some progress each time. But I know people that get worse, for God's sakes, too. So we got to work with them. And pretty soon you'll stop being reborn like that. And you'll just be in a constant state of oneness. And awe, A-W-E. Mm-hmm. He used to say, if you don't have any A-W-E, and he could even spell it, in your life, then awful things will happen to you. Mm. So that was a great line. I've never forgotten that one. And he's right. If you just learn how to be open and empty and allow your divinity to go through you, your problems are solved. I never worked a day in my life, and it just piles in on me one after another of fascinating things. And you know, you probably saw some of the things.
Absolutely. In Life is Play, you said, and I quote, regardless of what is happening in your life, it can be play even when you are challenged. Please explain.
Well, getting my frontal lobe smashed off was quite a challenge. And I realized it was the best damn thing that ever happened to me because I was strictly in my brain, just like all the other college professors that I hang out with. And I hang out with them because I was kind of, I was a chess master and all that kind of playing chess. I can't even remember the way the pieces move anymore. And, what was I getting at? What was your question again, real fast?
About that quote, regardless of what is happening in your life, it can be play even when you're challenged.
Yes. And that smash in the head. And everybody says, Mark, what are you smiling about all the time? I said, I just had an intuition about something that would have never come to me if I was the old me. And so I slowly learned to listen to it. And now it also adds into the synchronicities and the fluidity of life and the fact that I am that fluid. There's nothing to do. They just enjoy it. It's there's kind of a sense of awe. AWA. Every time I go out and go on a hike with somebody, they say, Mark, you're constantly seeing things that none of us see. And the trees and the animals and the blah, 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 blah. And I said, it's not me doing that. Not me, the ego. It's me, the oneness with the animals and the trees. Get it?
So and when we stop overthinking and start listening to that energy, that's when we really hear.
Exactly. And there's a lot of overthinking. I have a line in my book that says, there's so much knowledge going on now and so little wisdom. That's it. Yes. So much knowledge and so little wisdom going on the planet right now, everywhere.
But not wisdom in the intellectual sense. Wisdom
no, not in- that one. Right.
In the spiritual sense, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. My guest is Mark Johnson. His book, Life as Play, Live Compassionately, Intuitively, Spontaneously, and Miracles Will Happen. We'll be back with more of Mark after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that we can give our daughters everything they need to grow and learn. But not every child can focus on classes and play dates.
Nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. face hunger. That's one in six. School lunch might be their only meal each day. And it's heartbreaking to imagine any child going to bed hungry. We're dreaming of a perfect day when kids can smile, play, and just be kids without worrying about where their next meal will come from. Feeding America is working to make that perfect day a reality.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. That food is given to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about doing things that make an ordinary day extraordinary. Learning to play an instrument, building a sandcastle, hosting tea parties. Hunger should never be an obstacle to growing up.
You can help end childhood hunger in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Look out, world, we're getting strong. The future's here and we belong.
She can step, she can do more.
Like build a rocket and watch it soar.
We'll clean the oceans and make the world a better place. Oh,
she can step, so can you.
Find a cure.
Invent something new.
There's no challenge in the world that she can't face.
She can step.
Learn more at She Can STEM, a message brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility. Knowing you are supported by the universe.
I could play sports and see my friends without having to worry about anything.
I'm ready for concerts to be back and just have a life again.
So I can actually eat pizza at my favorite pizza place.
Because I'm ready to travel again.
So that I can sit on the couch, read my granddaughter books, and hug her when there's a happy ending.
We each have our own reason for why we're getting vaccinated against COVID-19. What will yours be? Visit GetVaccineAnswers.org for information on the COVID-19 vaccines. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week is Mark Johnson. He's the author of Life as Play, Live Compassionately, Intuitively, Spontaneously, and Miracles Will Happen. Mark, I've got a question for you that a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, are interested in your response to. There are those who would say that spirituality and sexuality are mutually exclusive. How would you answer them?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true to a large extent. And I think the Pope just turned down, women being priests. So the reason is because they lose control over you. Most religions are nothing but control and fear. They control you with fear. You know, go to hell for eternity. I heard that constantly when I was young. But the truth is, and what was your question again? Quickly, I'll get back.
About spirituality and sexuality being mutually exclusive.
All right, they're not at all. I have an entire chapter in my book called Spiritual Sexuality. And it's about, and it's all I do now. I find regular sex boring as hell. And believe me, I went through a lot of women when I was younger. And I think, oh, boy, did I waste a lot of me that way. So I stopped after a while and I tried this thing and it was incredible. The man and woman get together with a woman on top and it's, you know, it's looked like you're having sex. But the thing is, you start breathing and the woman will breathe high frequency energy into her perineum, which is down low in the belly. In other words, it's deep breathing. The woman will take a deep breath and her belly will go out. And then the exhale will shoot up her back, over her head and down her into my head. And then it'll go down my back and so forth. And then it'll come up and it'll go in hers. So the two people are getting together physically. However, it's not sexually. You're not trying to produce babies or just, you know, get a good, what's that called?
Orgasm.
Yeah, no orgasm. Okay. It's been so damn long since I had one. I don't even know how to, what it's called anymore. But who wants a damn little orgasm when you can have, when you can have the energy flowing up and down inside your body, then it goes inside hers and then down and then back at me. It's going back and forth and back and forth. And there's a certain time where you just sit back and open up and relax, both of you. And then the energy starts spiraling out of the top of both of your heads up into the universe. Now, can you imagine going back to regular sex when that's possible?
Absolutely not.
I have a woman write out a contract when they meet me and fall in love with me that, hey, listen, this is what I'm into. And if it doesn't appeal to you, you know, forget it. Don't sit there and look at me like that, because that's what the only thing I'm doing now is this high frequency exchange of yin and yang between the two bodies. It's incredible. And when the first time it blows out of both the heads and then it spirals into a spiral and goes up in the air. It's in my book, and there's a picture of two people doing it. So if you want to try something different than just orgasm after orgasm, try
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Many of our listeners practice yoga, and they're familiar with the chakra system. You share that Taoism has a little-known system that's similar to the chakras.
It's better than, because there's nine of them. The Taoists insist on nine chakras. The Taoists insist on the number nine, period. It's very, the number nine is even known, and by the way, I'm involved with them all the time. Let me see, quantum science.
Quantum physics, science. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they found the Higgs boson, because the mathematics said it's got to be there. So keep looking, you idiots. They did, and they made it through the mathematics. Well, my Chinese teacher, I was going to hold it up and show it to you. He has a showing the top of the human skull put together in the magical square. You're familiar with that? All the numbers come out to 6, 1, and 8. 7, 5, 15. All the numbers come up to 15, diagonally, vertically, square-wise, 1 through 9 can be put together so that they are connected to each other numerically. And I do this still to this day. And that is every morning I wake up and I stimulate each one of the numbers on the top of my head that are in the, that have to be where they are to contribute to the 15. For the harmony. So every morning I wake up and I harmonize my brain, and which is harmonizing my intuition in my case. And it's incredible, the power of nine. Anyway, the Taoists have nine, and I keep hearing the chakras. And when I was into the Hinduism, I referred to the seven chakras. But the advantage of the Taoist thing is, number one, there are nine, not seven. And there's three in the head, three around the heart, and three around the perineum and the lower dantian. They call it the dantian, lower dantian. So there's nine places. And it's not only important to stimulate them into action, you have to integrate them by going down from the one on the top of the head and say integrate with the one on the forehead, which is in the chakra system. But then there's one under the nose that the chakra people don't have. So there's three right there in the brain. right there in your head. And then there's three around the heart, your throat, which is your immune system. Then there's the heart. Then there's the navel. And then that's the beginning of the number nine, the nine series of the three bottom of the nine series is the navel is one of them. In between that, which is where you breathe into, when you do your deep breathing, it all goes there, the lower dantian, they call it. And then you go down to the perineum, which is between the legs. And then you say to the, as you're sliding your hands down and pulling the high frequency energies down to meet the middle frequency energies, down to meet the lower frequency energy, the physical stuff. Connect with each other, everybody. And people will call me and say, Mark, what do I work with? Which one of these nine? I said, you got to do them all at the same time and you have to integrate them. Because if you don't, having one strong one and eight weak ones is disaster.
You share in your book is so filled with humor. It's often self-deprecating and biting. Did you ever think of founding a school of humor as spirituality?
There was no need to, because I became good friends with Swami Beyond Ananda, if you've ever heard of him. He's a character.
Absolutely.
And he dwarfs me with his sense of humor, and we meet all the time. We live near each other. And he helped write a little bit of it and so forth. So what was your question again?
About having a school for spiritual humor.
Well, he has that.
That's it.
So just look into him and listen to what he does. He's into spiritual humor.
The master of spiritual humor, absolutely.
And in contrast to me, his memory is, I've known him 30, 40 years. He still remembers everything that's happened to him.
Wonderful.
I'll be lucky if I can remember what I had for breakfast. You know what I mean?
You've also taught Tai Chi to some very famous students. Who were they?
Oh, yeah. Coppola and all the movie stars. Every movie star you ever heard of. Because when I got out of a place, I went down to, I'm into astronomy. And, not only... all that quantum stuff. I'm into astronomy and I have a big telescope. But I got called down there and I thought, whoa, I want to see the telescope. But it was raining. So I was the only day person in there who got to get this telescope and ride the little seat that's behind the scope, and had a hell of a good time with everybody because it was raining out that day and it doesn't matter. Oh, so then I went back up to back home, and there was a phone call that said, Coppola wants someone to teach him and his students Tai Chi, and that was for the Outsiders. Do you remember that?
Absolutely, you know that? Sure.
And there's one more. What was the other one called? The Outsiders and I can't remember the name of it, of course.
That's okay, but you taught some very famous students, including Francis Ford Coppola, yeah, and Rob Lowe and all the actors in The Outsiders, the young actors.
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
And Tom Cruise, absolutely.
You name them. They were young, and I had to heal them every damn morning because they're all out drinking and boozing up. And so we all became friends, and I became their healer. And then they asked me back for the second movie because I was a good healer and that's saving them a lot of money. Sending them to the doctor, and I was doing all this for nothing.
And we've got about 2 minutes. Just tell us briefly about your healing practice.
Well, it has to do with the fact that I insist that they heal themselves. No more of this crap of I'm going to be the savior. I did that with the movie stars. I was their hero and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, hey, I'm not on this thing to get known as a hero. I want everybody to do it themselves. So now I say, here's what you have to do to cure yourself. And I will visit you on Zoom to make sure you're breathing correctly and doing everything else I tell you. Then you will heal yourself and you'll teach your friends and you won't have another problem with your health whatsoever, because the high frequency energies are more powerful than taking drugs and surgery, and then you're dead and all your money's gone. That's Western medicine. I think it stinks. It's limited. It's way too limited. And people are taking their life in their hands every time they do it, but they won't listen to me. They only know fear, and they're all on drugs that I know, and they all die pretty quickly.
And healing in your work is about raising the frequency to the higher frequencies and using that energy that we all have within ourselves to do the healing.
Yes, exactly. I want to teach everybody how to heal themselves. God knows I've done it to myself 10, 15 times. It would have killed anybody else. And everybody that knew me for the rest of my life said, Mark, we don't know how you're alive. There was a four-car pile out in front of me about 6 months ago, and I didn't even get a scratch. And all kinds of things. I think I'm an immortal, but I'm not sure yet because I haven't had any near-death experiences. And that's the problem of being an immortal. You don't get any near-death experiences. What am I going to do?
Listeners, if you've enjoyed listening to this man, this teacher, this wonderful wise man share what he shares, you're going to love his book. It's called Life as Play, Live Compassionately, Intuitively, Spontaneously, and Miracles Will Happen. Mark Johnson, one more time. Please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you.
Dao Publishing, D-A-O, publishing.com, and Tai Chi for Seniors video.com.
Now, this is the most fun I've ever had doing an interview and reading your book. You are out of sight, man. You're awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I always thought so.
And thank you for joining us on Vox Novus. I'm Victor, the voice, Berman. Have a wonderful week.